Hi, welcome to Catch Fire London's YouTube channel. We're really glad that you joined us today. We really pray that this message inspires you in your relationship with God. If it's in your heart to sow into our ministry, to help us fund having things like this YouTube channel, having things like our podcast, we'd love you to partner with us. The link is up here in the corner, and you can give any gift, any amount, and anything that you give will help us continue to grow the media department of this church and make sure that we get the message of Jesus as far and wide as we can. So bless you, and let me just pray for you as you listen to this message. God, I just pray that as my friend here listens to this message, God, that you would just open their hearts to something fresh of you, something fresh of the kingdom, that they would be transformed as they encounter your presence through this message. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, this is not a third false alarm. We do actually have guests with us this evening. Ben and Sarah, jump up with your gorgeous girly. Welcome these guys. Ben and Sarah are the executive directors of the world, of Catch the Fire World. Ben and Sarah, I will let them introduce themselves, but they have three gorgeous kiddies. Sarah worked for the School of Ministry in Toronto for years, and they now have a new role. They are, in fact, English, born and bred, but you've been gone for how long now?
120 years.
Wow. I will let you, why don't you say hi as a family? Tell us a bit about you, and then we'll hand over to Sarah. Oh, look, she's got it. She's got it.
Wow.
Say something. Can you say hi to everybody? This is Sophia. She's our youngest. I'm Ben. This is Sarah. Ta-da!
Well, that was a bit of a cop-out of an introduction, love. Well, thank you very much. Well, good evening, lovely people. We are so delighted to be here with you. Long have you lurked in our hearts, but we have not been able to get here. You see, when we come to England, we have very intense negotiations because we both have family here. And let's just say early in our marriage, we would have the sort of negotiations where we'd be like, okay, we've got 14 days and 6 hours in the United Kingdom. And we'd be like, there are 7 days, 3 hours per family. And we would have some intense marital discussions because we both really like our families. And we felt quite passionate about, being with them. So we're really delighted to be here this time. We're here for 5 weeks visiting all the Catch the Fire churches in the UK, and we are loving it. So it's really such a pleasure to meet you finally. Obviously I've seen lots of social media about you all, and you are just as good looking in person, if not more so, I have to say. You're well represented around the world when, I'm scrolling through my Instagram feed and you're there. I'm really excited about what God has for tonight. I feel like he's got some good things that he wants to release. And, some prophetic people, when they arrive in a nation, the wheels touch down, on the tarmac, and they're like, oh, I'm feeling something that the Lord has for this place. When the wheels of my plane touch down in England, sadly, I did not feel a great prophetic word come for you, but I did feel hot vomit splash over my hands, over my leggings, and over my Coach handbag from my beloved 5-year-old daughter. And I was just laughing, in that moment where I was actually thinking of it like, oh, here I am, I'm touching down in the land of my birth. And then suddenly there was just this horrendous fountain. And I just was like, oh, how traveling has changed since I was single. And it used to be a little bit more glamorous than it currently was feeling at that moment. But what I did feel something for the Lord from you, not the hot vomit, not a prophetic word for you. I know, but yeah, just don't go there. I actually felt, I shared this word this morning, but I felt the Lord had two things. I felt like I really sense God is wanting to release houses for people who have been believing God for houses and have been pressing through. So if that's you, stand up, because I feel like the Lord wanted to release something. Wow. Is this the main thing you're contending for? It's been a thing. It's right here. Okay, fantastic. I also felt like there's someone here who you have tried several times, maybe even three times, and you've almost had a house, and every time at the last minute, it's been blocked. Does that resonate with anybody? Oh, the church. Okay. Well, I felt like God was declaring breakthrough today. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are a God of provision. You are the God who releases a way where there is no way. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I just grab hold of these houses from heaven, and I pull down extravagant housing. I pull down more than enough. I pull down bigger, better, far beyond your budget. And I release that to you in the name of Jesus. And I speak to every blockage. I speak to every blockade, and I say, be moved in the name of Jesus. Get out of the way. And Holy Spirit, would you this very week bring shift in the atmosphere? Would you release the houses onto the market? Would you release this church's home? Father, release this church's home where they've been blocked again and again. Father, you're saving them for the best. So, Daddy, we just ask for a release for this church's home building in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Woo. The last time, I don't know about you, but I often have words in seasons where I'll just keep getting a type of word. And the last time I shared this word, a whole bunch of people came forward who were like, oh my goodness, yes, we've been just desperately trying for a house. And the next day, one of them called and said, this morning, a new house came onto the market. We've just been, they'd been living with friends for months and months and months. And, you know, we all know how that can get quite cozy. And I think they'd moved beyond cozy into kind of, wow, this house feels small now. We're still grateful, but we're really spending more time in prayer. And they said, we went this morning, we were the first people to see it, and we're taking the deposit right now. And it is bigger, and it is better than anything that has been out there on the market for less money. And I'm like, that's a God sort of miracle that I like to see. So God, the Father totally did that for Ben and I. When I'm like, how on earth did we get on the housing market ladder? That was a miracle. And it was, when we got to the house, we were like, why is everybody else not snapping this house up? And I just felt, you know what? The Father hid that house for us. So he's been hiding your house for you. And it's time to call that house and say, be ready. It's time to come. I'm ready for the bigger, better, budget bonanza house. I really have faith for that. And I just see it kind of house keys sprinkling down. I don't know where I am. I haven't even gotten my notes yet. I also felt alongside with that, I felt vehicles. That people who need cars that God wants to release. It's you! Woohoo! Yeah. Whoa. So, Daddy, right now, in Jesus' name, for everybody who is believing in faith for vehicles Father, I just say yes and amen. Yes and amen. Father, each person here right now, I agree in faith with you, and your heavenly Father has a vehicle for you. And so, Father, I ask for heavenly provision of transport. I ask for finances. I ask for cars to just be given outright. Just come from heaven, Father. Would you bring the vehicles that these ones need? In Jesus' name, let these vehicles be released to them. Hi. Amen. And, oh, Daddy, nice cars. I love a nice car. Every one of my cars I've prayed for, I've just, you know, I'm like, okay, the power to weight ratio, Lord, each time it's higher, because I just love it. I love driving. It brings me so much joy. Woo! Oh, what's he gonna do? Okay, this church has a powerful dominion mandate. You have a powerful dominion mandate. That is not a domination mandate. That's a whole different thing, and that's not what we're talking about. But a dominion mandate is about releasing others into life. And you have a calling personally to do that, and you have a calling corporately to do that. Powerful, Christ-like people releasing others, releasing freedom in those around you. Dominion is not about selfish gain. It's about partnering with Jesus to bring the kingdom of heaven here in the world, in your sphere of influence, in your family, in your home, in your bus. Maybe you don't have a car yet because you are bringing the kingdom of heaven into your bus. Could you hurry up and just get the thing done so the car can be released for you? In people, in family cultures, in the animal kingdom, in the plant world, in building structures, in social justice systems, in education systems, the sphere of influences gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And my question is, where has God called you to release dominion? And how has God called you to release dominion? Because each of us have an individual call and destiny on our lives to release it in a unique way in the environment that God has called us to do. Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 9 are where we see God release the dominion mandate to mankind. This is where he says, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" So, we have, that's one of the very primary things that God spoke to mankind. So we have this mandate to release freedom, to steward the things in our sphere of influence well. So what stops us from walking in dominion? What stops us from releasing freedom in others? And I want to talk about two things that sabotage us walking and releasing the kingdom of heaven in our sphere of influence. And the first one I want to talk about is victim thinking. And the second one I want to talk about is stopping halfway there. Whoa. Obviously, there's a song, but, you know, I'm not going to bring it. I'll save it, and then I'll break out. So what is victim thinking? Arthur Burke talks about a victim, a person who has come to feel helpless or passive in the face of mistreatment or misfortune. A person who feels powerless under another's control or domination. Or a person who believes they have no choices. The very first thing we see God talk about with Adam and Eve is he gives them choice. In the garden, in Genesis 2, he says, hey, there are two trees in the garden. Why does he give them choice? Because they can choose to love or they can choose to reject, because chosen love is so powerful. And I think one of the main things I see the enemy do is try and convince you that you don't have choice. And when you don't think you have choice, you end up living like a victim. And so in the midst of your life where you're walking out the kingdom mandate that God has given you, and then suddenly you're like, oh, I feel so powerless. You know, Sarah, you don't really understand, you know, the culture at my work. It's just such a gossip culture. And, you know, I don't partake in it, but I can't really do anything about it. You know, it's rampant. Well, you're coming under the culture. You're becoming a victim to the culture. And how is God inviting you to start changing the culture? Because we're called to come and be countercultural, to bring the kingdom culture into every sphere of influence we live in. So what can we believe? Well, the thing about victim thinking is that it's always everyone else's fault. Because actually, you know, I'm in debt because my boss doesn't pay me enough. It's not my fault I'm in debt. It's my boss's fault. And like, if they paid me more, I would be out of debt. And, you know, it's actually not even my fault that I'm bad with money. If you're going to say that I'm bad with money, because it's my mom and dad's fault. Because they never taught me about money. So it's their fault that I'm bad with money. And then I've got this job with a boss who, like, he doesn't pay me enough. And I'm obviously overqualified. But does he? He does not acknowledge that. And then I've been praying, and it's really God's fault. Because I've asked him to change stuff, and nothing has changed. So it's just always going to be like this. That, my friends, is a lovely example of victim thinking. And let's get real here, because I quite like being real, is that most of us have areas in our life where we can get on the whiny, whiny, blamey other train, you know. Or hypothetically, you know of somebody else that you live with, potentially your spouse or your mother or your child, who does such a thing, where it's you see others around you blaming others for their challenges in life. And the thing is, when we cannot acknowledge responsibility, then we have no power to change it. Maybe your boss doesn't pay you enough. Maybe your mum and dad didn't ever teach you about money. Maybe you've not seen the financial breakthrough miracle you've been praying for, but at the end of the day, you are still the person with a card and cash and choice. And you can choose to do something like I did. I chose to do a financial course, and I got out of debt in 6 months. It was quite a few thousand dollars of debt. And I suddenly found when I put action to my area of weakness, suddenly all those prayers that I've been praying, which God didn't seem to answer, suddenly he started partnering with me. How strange. He seemed to like me taking ownership for my life or something like that. Victim thinking always believes the source of its problems to be outside of itself. Any area where you have a little bit of victim thinking, you'll be thinking, oh, it's their fault. It's my pastor's fault that I am not spiritually blossoming like a rose bush. It is their fault. Oh, wait. Whose responsibility would your spiritual life be? Oh, that would be yours. Of course. Whose responsibility is it? It's your responsibility. And when you realize that, you can take ownership of it and choose to grow and flourish and put yourself in a greenhouse somewhere, if we're going to run with the plant metaphor. So sometimes I kind of play a little fast and loose with my metaphors, so I apologize. The Israelites, you know, the whole like moving out of Egypt. These guys had like the victim mindset, that victim thinking to a T. And there's this bit in Numbers where, you know, they've seen these people and they're like, we're going to have a battle. And then it says, then the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night. How traumatic. Like, that's a lot of tears. Like, you got to kind of, you know, 3 a.m., you're like, could I fall asleep? No, no, I've got to work myself up into a little more moaning and weeping. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And then they plotted among themselves and said, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Is that Egypt that you've escaped from as slaves? Aren't we going to expect they're going to do really bad things if you go back? When we allow victim thinking to run rife in our minds, it distorts reality. We focus on all the negative outcomes and scenarios. Do you hear them? Oh, they've already imagined their wives and children being carried off. They've already thought of several other ways they could die in a martyr-like death. How often do we do a little bit of that? Oh, poor me. I'm so overlooked. If only I'd chosen that other course. If only I'd taken that other job, they would appreciate me. And we can start to step into this victim way of thinking that totally sabotages the promises and the life of God being fulfilled in our lives. And when your mandate is dominion, when your mandate is to be a powerful Christ-like person, releasing life in others, we cannot afford to allow this victim thinking to be lurking around in our hearts. Now, hear me, I'm not in any way disparaging or belittling experiences where we have been victimized. However, what I am saying is you can have two people who both are in the same car accident with the same injuries. 10 years later, one of those people is just living their normal life, and one of the people will talk about that accident as though it happened yesterday, because they are still living as though they are a victim every day. And my challenge to you is, regardless of the painful experiences you have had, God is inviting you to partner with him to walk out of the places where you've been a victim into the place where you are a freedom bringer to others. Now, let's talk about the good stuff. Jesus was not a victim. In John 10, 17 to 18, it says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Jesus could have stepped away from the cross at any second, but he chose it. He chose every step of the way. We know that. somewhere in our heads. We may know it in our hearts or our heads. But he chose it. He wasn't a victim of the Romans. He wasn't a victim of the Jewish rulers of the day. He chose to position himself for the joy that was set before him. And just as Jesus was not a victim, we are invited to live in that place of authority where we are not victims either. And you, I don't know what area you have a little bit of victim thinking. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's with guys. Maybe it's with your mum. Maybe it's with authority figures. Shall I give you a few examples? I'm going to anyway, so yes, I shall. I was talking with a pastor recently, and I spent 15 years pastoring and directing the School of Ministry in Toronto. And one of the things, you know, I'd meet one-on-one with people, and one of the things I would notice with this is you'd have this wonderful, powerful person who is confident and, you know, they're able to handle difficult situations. And then one area of their life, they suddenly change. And they act out of character. And you're a bit like, why didn't you say anything? You sort of, you're acting strangely. So I was talking with a pastor recently. We were talking about this whole concept of walking in dominion and getting rid of victim thinking. And he was like, oh my goodness. He was like, this has been me. He said, you know, he's a very confident, outgoing man. But he said, for years, with strong male authority figures, he said, I would just lose my voice. And I'd be sitting there like, hello. And he was like, I would just say these weird, dorky things and be like, oh, I'll go and get some coffee then. And he'd be like, I'd be sitting there like, oh, I'm so embarrassed by myself. And he would describe his behavior, and I'm like, it's totally out of character for you. And he was like, yes. But as God has been healing his heart and speaking to him, he's like, I feel more I'm not 100% there yet. But he said, I feel like I'm 70% along the journey. And he was like, this has given words to what God's done in me. Because he said, for years, I'm a confident person until I meet another male authority figure and I'm a bit like, hi. I can't make eye contact. So I'm like looking around wildly because I'm so embarrassed. That's out of character behavior. In what area in your life do you find that victim thinking shuts you down and stops you from boldly, confidently bringing the freedom of Christ? Shall I give you another story? A little more personal detail this time. So when I was in my early 20s, I used to go to coffee shops every Saturday morning, and I would just take Bible commentaries, my journal, and I would just spend 3 or 4 hours there with Jesus, just like, oh my goodness, I'd journal, I was getting the presence of God from the commentaries, and I took a dusty 1960s special. I don't know how I chose it, but God came. And, you know, I'd be worshiping and sort of soaking and kind of weeping, depending on the book I was reading. And the thing was that almost every week or every other week, some strange guy would come up. And I would have my headphones in, I'd have my sunglasses on, I'd have books open, I'd have every please go away sign. And I'm not talking about eligible people. I mean, imagine me, I was about 21, I'm like, sitting there. And I'd have some guy who'd be like, hello. In his 50s, he's like, I'm in town for a golf court tournament, can I sit down? And I'd be like, and somehow, and I'm a fairly feisty, you know, confident woman, let me say. Somehow I would just lose my feist. And I would suddenly, in this one scenario, feel really powerless. And often I'd end up leaving the coffee shop because I didn't know how to say go away. Now, this was incongruous in the rest of my life, where I'm a little bit, you know, I'm confident, shall we say. It would happen in lots of different scenarios. I would be with a group of people, and if there was a very difficult, strange person, they would make a beeline for me. I had, at our church in Toronto, I've had two people banned from the premises because of me in that season of life. Like, it was like I'd be soaking and they'd be like touching. And I'd be like, cut off my knee or whatever it was. And I was, you know, I was at about, I don't know, 23, 24. I was like, Lord, what is this? And you know when you actually bother to ask the Holy Spirit a question? He's like, oh, thank goodness. I've really been hoping you were going to ask me about that for the last 4 years. And he reminded me of two things. First thing, when I was a little kid, one day I was present for a traumatic incident for somebody else where a friend was taken advantage of by an older guy in a really weird way. And I was like, oh, that was a pretty horrid memory that I'd had to really do some forgiveness with and, you know, just forgive that person and allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing to me. And the second thing he reminded me of was when I was about 14, 15, I was on holiday with a friend and in France at a swimming pool. And there were some, you know, there were some cute guys. And we were chatting with them, as you do. And afterwards, they left, and my friend turned to me and laughed and said, you don't know how to talk to guys, do you? And I was so angry in my heart. And I remember very clearly in this one moment just being like, I will show you. And as I asked, you know when you ask the Holy Spirit a question, he's like, ha, fantastic, dun, 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 here it is. And as God showed me those two things, I prayed, you know, I invited him to come and pray through those moments. He showed me that I had believed I was a victim with guys from that moment, from a little kid. That I had taken on that belief system and let it nurture and grow into a big place in my thinking. Now you combine that with 15-year-old me who was like, open season, if you are male, come and give me attention so I can show my friend how awesome I am. Basically, in the spirit, don't recommend it. And so it was pretty simple. So I'm like, Jesus, I just repent. Repent of my choice, my anger, where I was just like, I will show you. I was like, Jesus, would you just take off that beacon in the spirit that's just like, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, hello. That's all I did. Next week, I go back to that coffee shop. I went back to that coffee shop for another 3 years before I got married, and not once did anyone ever approach me again. Like night and day. I used to hate it when our school would do work with the homeless. Because I felt like a deer in a, you know, amidst a pack. I was just like, I've got something in the spirit that is attracting all sort of unwanted attention. And then that totally shifted. Suddenly, I'm not acting like a victim and losing my voice and my ability to say, excuse me, that's totally inappropriate. No, thank you, go away. Suddenly, I've got that back. Some of you need to get your voice back. I feel like your voice is going to be released to you today. Okay, so I want to talk about something really exciting that I love. This, in Ephesians 4, verse 28. I believe God gives us a picture of what dominion looks like. Are you ready? Because this excites me. I think it's going to blow your mind too. In Ephesians 4, 28, it says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Okay, So many of us live in the paradigm of over here. Imagine it's, we've got a scale from minus 100, zero, plus 100. Many of us live here in our victim thinking, in our place of brokenness. We're thieves. We're stealing. We encounter God and we move into this place of freedom. And we're like, woo, I'm free. Has anyone experienced Jesus bring you freedom? I've experienced Jesus bring me immense freedom. And we're like, this is fantastic. And then we're like, oh. I am here lounging in the freedom place. And instead of moving onward, we camp out in the place of being healed. And we're like, I am healed. Da, da. And you know what? Healing and freedom is worth a little dance. It's worth celebrating. It's worth rejoicing in. It's worth all the sort of like, yes. But it's not where we as Christians are intended to stop. Because you see, in that verse, if you're a thief over here at minus 100, stop stealing and move to zero. If you stop stealing, you're at zero, you're at the place of freedom. I assume he's talking about kleptomania, compulsive stealing. But then the verse doesn't stop there. It says, instead, use your hands for good hard work. And then give generously to others in need. What are you doing over here? You're releasing freedom from the very place that you used to be in bondage. You used to be a thief. You used to take from others. But your destiny is to be a person who generously gives to people in need. You are walking in authority. You are walking in dominion in the very area you were once held bondage. And so if we take that principle, where are the places you were in bondage? And have you been camping out at Shay Zero in the healing mansion? But the Holy Spirit is inviting you to head on over here to begin to walk in dominion. So maybe once you came from this place where you grew up in a totally toxic home where there was so much negativity and criticism and, you know, just all this verbal blech spewed around. And you've come out of some of that and you're like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer filled with critical words towards other people. I speak differently. I think differently. I have come into a place of freedom. It's time to begin really releasing that freedom to others. It's time to walk in dominion where when you walk into a room, criticism gets shut down. When you walk into a room, people who are mocking and bullying can't do it anymore because you carry such a spirit of honor. When you walk into a room, you carry dominion and you change the spiritual atmosphere. That's what I see you doing. And so maybe you come from abuse where women or men were dishonored and mocked and, you know, derided. How is God going to use your story to release honor, to release healing, to release life in the people around you? You know, the number of women that I've prayed for who've been like, I've lost my voice. I could never say no because of experiences I'd had. And it is my joy to be part of releasing them into freedom. Because every time I do that, I'm like, I'm walking in dominion in this area. I'm releasing this. What once held me bound, I'm laughing and saying, ha ha ha, I release freedom to hundreds of women, hundreds of people, because of I've come out of that place and I didn't just camp out over here, but I realized God had a new destination for me. And I want to challenge you, where is your place of dominion destiny that God's calling you to? Maybe it's in finances. If you're really rubbish with your finances, can I just speak to you and say that's not your destiny? Actually, this is an opportunity to move from minus 500 rubbish financial stuff. That was clear, wasn't it? To move over here to getting some freedom. To move over here to giving some freedom. Kevin Prosh has this great lyrics that says, whatever is denied cannot be healed. And you know what? If you're in denial about areas of your life, especially those sort of victim-y areas, when you're like, oh, it's not my responsibility, it's always going to be like this. I've talked to people who are victims in the realm of sickness. Oh, you just wait. I'm going to go back to the hospital this week. They're probably going to botch it up again. Oh, I always get a trainee, always get a student doctor, and they just can never find a vein. They're just stabbing. And after a while, I'm like, please don't go back there. And they go in, and wouldn't you know, there's some mistake made, and just, I'm like, it does. You're a victim. You're living as a victim in this area, and your expectation is that it's going to get worse. What does your thinking sound like in that area? Hypothetically, if you had that thinking, which you don't, of course. This is our Egypt. And God is calling you out of Egypt. When the Israelites were in the desert, they were free. But the desert was not their destination. Their destination was the promised land. Their destination was a land where they walked in victory, where they had courage, where they were brave. And you know what? It took a while to get that victim thinking out of their heads, to get that, oh my goodness, we're going to be carried off in battle, and then we're going to die in 27 creative, terrible ways. God wants to get that victim thinking out of our hearts so that we're ready to walk into the promised land of our lives. You have a destiny that I can never fulfill. You have people that you can reach that I will never reach. You have influence. You have potential to bring the kingdom that nobody else in this room can do. And you're going to do it powerfully and creatively and beautifully. And maybe you're going to make a few mistakes along the way, but that's totally okay because you're walking into destiny. And a destiny that you were designed for. A destiny that only you can fulfill. Ezekiel 34:28-29 says, they will no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will not devour them, but they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. I don't know where you have lived as a victim, but this is what the Lord declares over you. You will no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will not devour you, but you will live securely, and no one will make you afraid. He will establish for you a renowned planting place, and you will not again be victims of famine in the land, and you will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. That is a prophetic declaration over your lives, over the places where you have lived as a victim, over the places where you have been afraid, over the places where someone has taken your voice from you. So, shall we do something fun? Because God wants to invite us to partner with him. Okay. I mean, when we're in worship, I heard the Lord say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Who is filled with the Spirit of the Lord in here? Some of you. Awesome. There is freedom from being a victim. There is freedom from being taken advantage of. There is freedom from always being bad with finances. There is freedom from being a victim to sickness. There is freedom from addictions. There is freedom from compulsive lying. There is freedom from compulsive stealing. I don't know what the thing is that you have struggled with, are struggling with, but I know there is freedom because where the Spirit of the Lord is and he's in you, there is freedom. And he's calling you into the freedom police. Police? The freedom. He's the freedom police. No. My metaphor has gone wrong. To the freedom place, because he wants to launch you into the promised land of your life. I don't care how far away and how damaged and difficult your Egypt life looked like. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt he's calling you here. And if you partner with him, he's going to take you there every step of the way. Step by step by step, because he's faithful. Because he loves you. You know, all the breakthrough I've ever had, all the change and the transformation that I've experienced, and I've experienced a lot. Can I give you my top tip? This is the deeply complex way that the Lord works. Basically, I just said yes. That was it. Just little yeses, sometimes terrified yeses, sometimes, I don't know if I can do this, yeses, but they were just little yeses. Anytime he asked something of me, I just said yes. You can say yes, just to one little thing. Sometimes we look at it like the mountain of our life. If you look at it like that, you're going to have a little bit of a problem. You're like, it's so big. How could I ever? Oh, crisis. Why? Egypt, with its addictions, looks so nice. Can you put one foot in front of the other? Yes, I can do one more step. I remember times when I was just like, Lord, I can just do one more day. And then I found I could maybe do one more day, and I could say one more yes. And then one day I experienced being catapulted into a life of freedom that I didn't know was possible. I didn't know it was possible to live at peace instead of filled with anxiety and fear. But you can, and I do. And it was just lots of little yeses. And so what is the yes he's asking of you? What is the way he wants to invite you to partner with him? This is your homework for next week, if you like homework, is to journal and ask him, how can I partner with you, Holy Spirit? How can I partner with you in releasing dominion? How do you want to partner with me in my workplace, at my school, in my home? And he's really good at just simple, clear things that you can do, that you can say yes to, if you choose it. Will you choose it? I'm waggling my eyebrows at you in case you weren't sure. Will you choose it? I'm working on that. Hi. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I've got a whole bunch of things I want to do. Why don't we stand to our feet? Because I feel like the Lord is wanting to release freedom in this room. If you want it, I am not forcing freedom on you this morning, afternoon, evening. It's morning somewhere, isn't it? It's morning somewhere. That is the cry of the jet-lagged. Whoa. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, the first thing I felt was that if you know there's an area of victim thinking in your heart or mind, I want you to run to the front. This isn't your judgy, this isn't us being judgy, but this is us taking a positional step. Oh, thank you, Lord, for jeggings. Whoa. I feel like we can laugh and go really deep at the same time, which is sort of why I do it. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are releasing freedom in this place tonight. And I thank you that you say in your word that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are releasing freedom in hearts and minds and bodies this afternoon. That we are, that your fire freedom, I just see this freedom raging like a fire within you. Because he is coming right now. He is more passionate for your freedom than you are. Hey, and I just sense, Holy Spirit, is there someone we need to forgive? Is there someone who we've blamed this another person, but is there someone that we need to forgive tonight? Because if we're holding unforgiveness toward another, that can just lock us into that victim thinking. And so why don't you just pray with me right now? Father, I choose to forgive that person who hurt me. And now this is where you get specific. I forgive that bully who humiliated me. I forgive that teacher who said you'll never amount to anything. I forgive that person who crushed me, who took away my voice, who took away my choice, who overrode me, that friend who was so controlling. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit brings to mind, let's just take a moment and just speak out forgiveness. You may be in the choice level of forgiveness. You may be in the heart level of forgiveness. You may be in the emotion level of forgiveness. All of those places are valid. And as you release forgiveness, you are embracing freedom. You are embracing freedom. That day that I forgave that person from when I was 5, the day that I forgave my friend when I was 15, it shifted something in the spirit for me that enabled me to step into freedom. If you're standing here thinking, I've forgiven them 27 times before, this is called real forgiveness. That's how you do real forgiveness. And actually, one day you'll get to a place and there'll be a time like that and you'll be like, they don't come to mind anymore. I've actually forgiven them from the heart. I can even maybe bless them. And guys, I recommend you do. One of the people I held greatest offense against and took me, it was a journey of several years of forgiveness. I ended up accidentally going on holiday with them and ending up in a villa with 6 other people. And can I just tell you that forgiveness is real? Because that journey of 2 years of forgiveness, every time someone had a call and I'd be like, oh, it's them again. When I sat there having dinner and I didn't want to leap across and beat them with a frying pan and instead I could have a conversation, I knew forgiveness was real. So I want to encourage you, if you're forgiving again for the umpteenth time, it doesn't invalidate it. Actually, you're in the real meat of forgiveness, choosing it, positioning yourself. So let's just speak it out. I forgive you for every way you victimized me. I forgive you for the consequences I've paid in my life. I forgive you for the way your actions wounded me. forgive you for the way your words just have crushed me. And today I unhook myself. I unhook myself from that unforgiveness. I unhook myself from that bitterness. I unhook myself from that hatred. And I choose forgiveness. I choose freedom. Because my destiny is freedom. And I am going to walk in authority in this area. I am going to release freedom to others. Hi, thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is there any way we need to repent of our choices? Just like I needed to repent of that decision I made, that I will show you. Maybe you made a decision when you were hurt. I just feel like there are some people here who were bullied and who were crushed by others' words. And I feel today the Lord is lifting those words and the sort of curse, really, they spoke out of your life. He is lifting curses. He is lifting that as a prophecy off your life. And he is saying, my expectations for you are sky high. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the mind of Christ. You have a heart of purity. You are more than a conqueror. Ha! And as we just repent, God, I'm sorry for any decision I made out of anger, out of hatred, out of pain. I repent for where I said, all men are untrustworthy, or whatever it was that you decided, whatever way you decided, I am disconnecting from relationship. There are some people here, you made that choice. You chose to disconnect because it was safer. If you just want to lay your hand on your heart right now, I feel like the Holy Spirit is inviting you and saying, would you reconnect? Would you say yes to me? All you need to do is say yes to him. So Jesus, I invite you to reconnect my heart. I choose to allow you to open my heart. I choose to position myself for connection. And heart, I bless you. I bless my emotions. I'm sorry for where I've crushed you. And some of you have just not known what to do with your pain. So you've just tried to thwack your heart, crush those emotions. And right now, the Lord is just pouring a healing balm in this place. He is pouring just this healing. What I see is this oil from heaven that is pouring down over you. And he is bringing healing to the place of wounded relationship. For those of you who experienced rejection by friends, this is for you right now. If you say yes to him, he is going to come and heal that place in your heart where you couldn't open up to friendships. You couldn't open up to relationships. And God is releasing just healing from heaven right now. Whoa. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hi. Okay, before we move on to the dominion excitable bit, I want to lift off you the identity label that you're a victim. And you know what? The Holy Spirit might bring something else to mind. It might be like, oh, I'm powerless. I'm voiceless. I'm stupid. I don't know what it is. But I feel like we need to rip off those labels. Are you going to do it with me? Fantastic. We can do that. Anyone else want to join us? Okay, you ready? Father, I rip off
every identity label
that doesn't come from you. Whoa. I rip off victim.
I rip off
stupid.
I rip off
powerless.
I rip off silent.
I rip off invisible.
I rip off unlovable.
And Daddy, I ask you
for your heart,
for your identity
that you speak over me.
Wow. Hi. Holy Spirit, would you just start downloading godly identity into our hearts right now? Whoa. I just rip off the identity label victim off your hearts and minds and bodies right now in Jesus' name. And Father, every place that these ones have been blocked, they have been crushed, they have been shut down, today I release you to life again in Jesus' name. And I say, life, spring forth. Powerful, beautiful people, spring forth in the name of Jesus, because you are his beloved. You are his chosen ones. You are chosen by God, and he's delighted with you. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Holy Spirit, will you just pour your healing, your fresh identities into this place, that we would see ourselves with your eyes. Hi. Hi. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And right now, I bless you. I feel like we need to stretch our hands into heaven. And we need to pull down the creative ideas of dominion that you and I have been called to. So I want you to picture that thing that you have lived as victim to, that thing that you've been in bondage to. And the Lord is saying, I'm giving you authority to bring freedom and to release it into others. So why don't we just stretch our hands like little kids and say, Daddy! I want to be a freedom bringer. I want to be a joy releaser. I want to be a peace carrier. And the very place I've been a victim, I want to bring freedom to hundreds and thousands of other people. And so, Daddy, I grab hold of healing, wholeness, joy, creative, crazy ideas. And I pull it down into my heart and life right now in Jesus' name. Woo! Ha ha ha. And I bless you to have dreams and visions and encounters where you get the ideas from heaven of how to bring life and change and transformation to the very place you were once held bondage. That would be your place of victory, your place of authority, that you stand there and you say, I know I've got authority to speak into this because I have got freedom through Jesus Christ. You carry it. You've got it. It's in your DNA. Whoa. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whoa. Hi. Oh, I just see some of you getting dreams and visions. I just keep hearing that word in my head. And I feel like some of you are going to have ideas of how to bring reformation and change to your area of work and to your area of your career area. And who are those people? Wave a hand who are like, I want to do that. Okay. Holy Spirit, right now, in Jesus' name, I release that culture-changing, social justice, kingdom-bringing mantle of anointing for these ones, that they would experience dreams and ideas from heaven that would change the way the world works, God. Father, release ideas that will transform social media, that will transform fashion, that will transform music and the transport infrastructure and the way we make airplanes. God, would you release those ideas from heaven onto earth right now in Jesus' name. Father, let us become stewards of the whole world. Every industry we're called to be stewards of. And Daddy, we say yes to those ideas. Give me a dream and I'll be faithful with it. Give me an idea and I will run with it. I just hear the Lord say, I'm raising up captains of industry among you. Who are those people? Who does that resonate with you and your Father? I just bless these ones. And Father, I ask for the favor of the Lord to be upon their lives. I bless every mistake. I know that's a weird blessing. But often we learn so much more from our mistakes than we do. And I bless you to make holy mistakes in Jesus' name that will cause creativity to explode within you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you're calling every. Who are the ones who your family is a place that you would like to bring cultural change to in the most non-manipulative, life freedom giving. We're talking about dominion, not domination, people. Sometimes we forget that with family, don't we? And we're a bit like, no, you will do this. And I feel like the Lord's saying, no, I want you to release freedom and I don't want you to smack freedom down on people. It doesn't work quite that way. So Father, these ones, I commission you today in the name of Jesus to be kingdom culture carriers to your family. And you know what? I feel the Lord say, you have authority to release to them what you've allowed him to do in you. So if you see areas of change, don't point it out to them. Go before the Lord and say, would you do it in me first? Hey, I commission you as culture bringers to your family, that you would be contagious, that you would come in humility and with a sweet spirit, you would come in love, and that they would know you by your love. Father, thank you that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Help us to be kind to our families. Thank you, Lord. I just commission you to go because you've been called. You've been chosen for such a time as this. I want to bless you guys as you head out tonight. I don't know if there's anything more that we want to do. Oh, there is! There is, sorry. It just bubbles up, and I just feel like I just have many bubbles of Holy Spirit things. He's saying, you know, one of the things I've been talking about tonight is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never said, Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you to come and lead me and lead my life, you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in you. And if you are longing for freedom, but you don't have Jesus, it's a lot of hard work without much result. And so I want to invite you tonight, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, who's never said, Jesus, I want you to lead my life, I want you to invite you to just pray something really simple with me. It's not like some big ninja-like spiritual transaction. Well, it kind of is, but it's really simple. It's not like 17 rules. What we're saying is, Jesus, why don't you pray with me? Jesus, I want to know you. I've made bad choices, but I want to invite you to come and lead my life. Come and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because I believe your word that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I want freedom. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that for the first time tonight, I'd love to invite you to come to the front. I'd love to pray for you. Some of our team here would love to pray for you. It's going to turn your world upside down and inside out. Getting to know him is the best thing you'll ever do. Hey. Thank you, God. Oh, I'm going to hand it over to you, because I think I would just bubble away for hours and kind of...
Come on, wasn't that awesome? So good, Sarah. You know, one of our core values as a church, two of our core values, equipping and empowering the saints, that's you, and healing of our hearts. And tonight you got some of both. I want to encourage you, this is part of what we are all about. And the immersion day that we have on Saturday, the immersion 3, is a healing of the heart day. A whole day going deeper into healing our hearts, into looking at this kind of stuff. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done one yet, sign up. We want to bless you. We want to bless your week. We're just going to have a soft ending. So feel free to stay in the presence of God here. Feel free to stay connected to the presence of God as you leave. Two options. Amen. If you see someone you don't know on the way out, give them a hug, bless them, remind them. That's the rule. You stay connected here, or you stay connected as you go. Amen? Be blessed. Have a blessed week, family. I hope many of you can make the prayer meeting on Thursday night. It'll be a great time to spend together praying.